Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Body Mind Practice podcast, soon to be changing its name, actually. I'm going through a bit of a rebranding process. I'm just saying this so I'm held accountable because it's something I've wanted to do for a while. So we're going to be changing the brand up and hopefully putting it out there in the new year. So stay tuned for that, as exciting as that is. So today on the podcast, we are tapping into the world of cacao. Now, we may have all heard of it. We definitely have heard of chocolate, of course. I don't know if anyone in the world has not. I wonder if there are anyone in the world that hasn't heard of chocolate. They'd be pretty disconnected, wouldn't they, from the main, not even the mainstream, the low stream, you know. God, some tribes in the world, sure, don't know what chocolate is. But it's probably one thing that a traveller would go and take with them when visiting a tribe to give them as an offering. I can maybe imagine that. So anyway, chocolate and cacao. Cacao, I wanted to know more about it. I'm quite naive to it, even though I've tried it. I've done it in I guess you can call it in ceremony before. Now, I reached out to Laura Durbin as I asked a few friends just to see if they knew anyone who'd be good for a podcast, happy to come on the show and just talk about cacao benefits, their experience. And Laura was the guest. I mean, she held the space amazingly, really appreciated her time and her energy and bringing the conversation back to something more sacred, which probably for me going into it, I didn't put too much emphasis on, and to my detriment really. But that was, you know, all credit to Laura there, because she brought the conversation back around to a real sacred food that we can create so much meaning out of. So why did I want to find out more about cacao? Well, I know that it is something that has been traded all around the world. It's been processed, it's been refined, it's found its way into everyone's mouths. But what is chocolate at its pure form? It's cacao. Now, there's cacao, there's cacao, and then there's lots of all downstream products from that. And the further you get away from the natural product, the more unhealthier it gets. The more you process things, the more refinement, the less nutrients there are in it. Now, cacao is chocolate. It is, it's in its pure form. And I wanted to have more understanding of this, why it has significant antioxidants in it. What does it mean to lower your blood pressure and the flavonoids that are contained in it? The reducing diabetes, for example, if you're taking this in its pure form, it can reduce inflammation. There are so many nutrients. It's high in fiber. For a plant food, it has got the most amount of iron, which we talk about. It's high in magnesium, potassium. So cacao, if you didn't know, it actually comes from the tree, the Theobroma cacao tree. And these are huge, big pods. If you're watching this online, Laura gets some out. She has some, you might hear her shaking it around if you just listen to the audio. But on YouTube, she's there in the video and she opens this and she gets the pod out and shows us what an actual cacao bean is. And I never knew this, to be honest. And basically, the pod gets removed from the tree. The cacao beans are then released and they can be ground into cacao nibs or pressed into cacao oil or butter. And then the fatty part of the cacao fruit, which is the oil or butter, which is surrounding the seeds inside. And then what's left of the fruit is then used to make raw. Again, we talk about this. Raw and pure is something raw if it's taking some sort of fermentation process. Like it's kind of not, is it? It's cacao and it's pure. It's the pure powder. And then this process is what makes cacao powder, such as pure form of chocolate. And we'd say pure because it's not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. So I think pure is the right word here because it does take some processing before it makes its way into our cup. So I was actually practicing a bit of this in my post-conversation trip to Edinburgh, and I took my partner to this restaurant called Seeds for the Soul. Vegan restaurant, you know, on their website. I've just had a look now, actually. On their website, you know, they're promoting the health benefits of going vegan, and would you turn your dog into a bag, and all this kind of preachy mentality around save the planet, ethical sustainability. You know, pushing those, you know, probably come from a good place, pushing those terms around to actually try and bring about some change, be the change. But we go to the restaurant. I've been there before once, and I actually did enjoy it. But going back, maybe I had something more. I had more awareness of asking questions, and I think we more often need to do this: ask questions and don't feel embarrassed to ask questions about. Okay, where's this from? Where was this grown? Do you know anything about this? I mean, you're in a vegan restaurant. You're in a place that is preaching sustainability, and you know the future is. Ethics and morals, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to exercise this as we should. And I said, oh, I see you've got cacao and lacuma on the drink menu. Can I ask where your cacao's from? And she was like, oh, I don't actually know. So she went to have a look at the packaging, and then it said, she shows the packaging, and it said Real Food Source Company. So I had a little Google, looked online. It was one of these bulk buying sites. Had a little scroll down, and it actually said on the packet, cocoa/cacao. Now, learning what I learned in the podcast, I know they're two separate things. So why would you put a / in the middle of those? They're two different things. They just are. One's highly processed, one is it's in its pure form. So which one is it? So that to me, firstly, distinguishes that they don't necessarily know. I mean, it's likely the former, the cacao, which has been processed, because, you know, you'd just promote the cacao, wouldn't you, if it was pure cacao. So you might think I'm going into this a little bit, but I truly believe that you are voting with your money. Everything you buy suggests that you are okay with that. You are voting for that thing. You are saying that it's okay to sell this product. You are doing that. And we have so much power with what we pay for. So if we're not asking where things are coming from, how's it been treated? How is this thing, this plant, this animal being treated? If we're not doing that, then we are just drifting through life and we're being part of the problem. If you do value, and it might not be your value, and that's okay too. If so, just skip forward. But it might be a big value of yours that I want to contribute to a planet which is actually for the betterment of our existence. Now, that's something I value. I do really look for my biases, my habits, my patterns, my buying behavior over and above anything. Like, what am I buying? What am I purchasing? What am I saying? Okay, it's okay to do this too. I think you kind of get what I'm saying, but that was my experience of that anyway. And it was actually a real powerful experience. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to be doing this more. I'm going to be asking, holding others accountable for the things that they are selling. And I firmly believe that there are certain companies out there selling you a product, but they're not just doing that. They're selling you an idea. And that idea is that this is sustainable, this is ethical, this is moral. And it's been happening since the dawn of civilization. And we have the power to stop this and to question it. And that is hopefully what I've done right there. Send them a review. I'll also send them a little email. Because it's integrity. It's integrity. Have you got integrity with your words? Let's hold those accountable. And we don't have to do it in a malicious and a mean way. We can do it in a very, you know, integral way. So anyway, I've talked longer than any other podcast. But hopefully you're with me on this. Who knows if not? I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Let me know if you have the time, the space, the energy. Clearly I have. So yeah, enjoy the podcast. Laura is fascinating. And yeah, I can't wait to share this and put her out there to the world. And if you want to contact her or, you know, get in touch via Instagram, I'll drop an email in the podcast description and also some links to dive deeper on the benefits of cacao. Thanks for listening to the intro. Really appreciate that. And enjoy the podcast. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go for it. Let's dive into all things cacao. So what your name, first of all, Cacao Zeba, how did that come about?
Got my cacao right here.
You have. I have not.
Oh, so. You know what? I thought this morning when I was preparing my cup, I was like, oh, I should have sent Chris some cacao. Like, of course, you know, didn't even know. Anyway, you'll drink with me. It comes all the way to you now.
Oh, yeah. I'm drinking it. It's turning my water into murky brown.
Tickling.
There you go. So yeah, I have not got a cacao, but you know what? I'm gonna host this experience so you can talk me through what you're going through. Maybe do a little, you know, a little insight into the cup as we go along and how what you're feeling, perhaps. Yes. But yeah, cacao then. Let's talk all things cacao. I think I want to tap into your story, how it came to be such a business now, but like it, you know. Big part of your life and lifestyle, and yeah, how that came to be. So briefly, kind of how it came into your life, or how you came into its life, I guess. And then yeah, we're gonna, I think, go into the benefits, dispel some myths around chocolate, and really, like, you know, cacao for dummies type thing. Even just for myself, because I'm not exactly a connoisseur. But yeah, and then we'll go into some benefits, and then maybe a bit of the history of cacao, and we can just see how it goes. Yeah,
wonderful. I have, before I, you know, start talking, and probably won't start because I love talking about cacao, I want to ask you one question. How did you come to cacao, and why did you want to record a session?
Maybe there are two different questions, two different answers, I think. So the first one, how did I hear about it? It was probably a staple in lots of places that I was curious about. So it was always present. I would hear about it, you know. It kind of went along with certain practices and certain, I guess, cultures that I was interested in. So more spiritual, more dance, more ecstatic dance type scenarios, and cacao would be brought in. I'd say I really took it with the most intention in India when I was there in 2019 in January. I went back. I traveled there when I was 4 years old, but I went back with my partner to do my yoga teacher training. And that was really when there was a space set up really for working with it in such a sacred way. So that was probably the first time it really kind of took me on a bit of a journey. Before that, I feel like it's been around in kind of my awareness for like 5-10 years maybe. But more so when I've just been tapping into health and lifestyle and cacao and differentiating what that means over just chocolate, you know. So I've always been curious about it, and it's a worldwide traded commodity, just much like coffee, and I'm just curious about things like that. So yeah.
Wonderful. Wow. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. It's everywhere. Actually, my friend who makes these beautiful Buri cups, I think they're really fitting for cacao, because a lot of people think that cacao has this feminine spirit, which, you know, it's not a rule, but a lot of people experience that, like heart opening and, you know, surrender and receiving. And yeah, so, and she actually discovered cacao in India too, and that was a big part of her learning. But for me, actually, it all started in Iceland. So, I'm originally from Germany, hence the name Cacao Zauber, which means cacao enchantment or cacao sorcery, if you want. But I studied in Iceland and lived there for a few years. And funny enough, this is the country where cacao has been booming for years and years. And I discovered in 2017 through friends, just, you know, it was always already kind of a big deal there. So people would just drink it at home and would invite you over for cacao instead of a coffee. And that's how I discovered it. And so I asked them about it, what it was, and they told me about cacao ceremonies. I never made it to one. I was curious, but it was also just not my idea of spending my time. I studied visual arts and literature and language and very interested in cultures and mythologies. That's part of my arts as well, but sitting in circle and sharing circle, not sure. I was into yoga and but not into spiritual practice in that sense, so wasn't really my cup of tea. But then yeah, I would just drink it with friends and researched into it and discover it was very good for your liver detox and kidney detox and just for your body in general. So I started implementing it into my daily life, and a few months down the line, I noticed that I didn't crave sugar anymore, and I'm a big chocolate girl. Usually I was like, just eat chocolate after every meal, basically. And suddenly that stopped because I was very strict with myself and would drink the pure cacao, only pure, so without any sweetness. And then I realized, okay, that's a good thing, but still I feel like not honoring it properly, I guess. Thinking that it's quite expensive, and then a lot of people say that it has such a magical effect on them. So I wanted to start rituals, and actually discovered or found an artist, and she's also a witch, so proper practicing witch. And I found that so fascinating. For me, that was a new world. It was like, wow. I was always interested in, like I said, mythology, spiritual cultures, and but especially the yoga culture didn't resonate with me. So that it was too far away from me, like India, Eastern, completely different worlds. And that witch world opened something new up to me, and I realized, oh my gosh, yes, I thought that was only fairy tales for kids. And then I dived into that a bit and realized all my interests for the Babylonian mysteries. I studied King Arthur and their legends and the whole Celtic part. And just realized you can use that as a spiritual practice. And that then brought me into honoring the elements, especially in Iceland, because they are very strong, right? You can't really escape the snowstorms or the earthquakes and the volcanoes erupting, So I started doing that and implementing cacao in my kind of elemental sort of rituals, and then starting to notice something while I was painting. I'm not a night owl, so I usually go to bed quite early. And that evening, I just looked at some point after painting, looked at the clock, and saw it was 3 a.m. And then I realized, okay, I was proper zoomed out. That never happened before. That must have been the cacao. And so I continued. And then after a few months later, I actually experienced that heart-opening effect. And it, for me, the main thing was trust that came, and still is. I think it's one of the biggest teachings I get to receive through cacao again and again and again.
Big, big. So let's go back to that moment where you look at your watch and it's 3 in the morning
Yeah.
after taking the first cup.
Well, no,
And
I had the cup. I must have had it at like 7 in the evening or something, right? Like
okay.
a kind of late night cup, and I decided to just dedicate the time to, drink some cacao and paint. And so I would just go into this flow state of painting, and I really liked it. It was just drawing and some watercolors, nothing big, but I just was so zoomed in. And at some point, yeah, when I looked at the watch, it was 3 a.m. and thought, oh my gosh, I've never been up that late without any disturbance, didn't distract myself, was completely in that creativity and in that joy of it, and really loved what I was doing too. Everything looked so much more beautiful. Everything was just lovely and beautiful. So I had this immediate thought of, oh my gosh, what if this is like a drug? And I wake up the next morning, look at the painting, it's shit. So,
Yeah,
but that didn't
and
happen.
you feel that as well, and you feel shit.
Exactly. I mean, I'm very hesitant with all sorts of substances. So I also naturally that comes with judgment, right? So that was my judgment of like, oh yeah, probably it's just gonna make me believe that I paint something nice, but I still have that little watercolor painting hanging over there. So
Amazing.
yeah.
Yeah, you woke up, it was still as beautiful. Lovely. So yeah, and then. So did you dive into research about cacao and all the benefits and why it was, you know, why it's been almost taken and extracted and brought to the world in such a different way than its pure form, much like a lot of things.
Yeah, so like I said, that happened before I even noticed energetic effects or even physical effects of the cacao. I've just heard of it, like people were taking, like, oh, it's amazing, feel so much love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't feel anything. So I literally just researched it for the benefits of drinking it because, yeah, I mean, as a chocolate person, you know, I love chocolate, thought, what is the background of this pure plant? Right. And I got really interested in that and what it can bring to us. And obviously there's a lot of research already done with chocolate. You know, we all know chocolate makes you happy and actually a piece of dark chocolate is good for your heart. All these kind of things have been around for chocolate. But yeah, now when you think of the completely pure plant, which is hardly processed, it has so much more benefits. And mm-hmm. in chocolate, because it is processed and often the cacao butter is taken away, it's stripped of most of its nutrients. I was particularly interested in that liver detox, and that I found that really particularly interesting, but then found more things such as why it's good for the heart, or why you get really calm while focused, why you can stay in that flow state. So it kept me awake, right? But it was not like a caffeine kind of hit where you're just jittery and you're awake all night and you really want to sleep but you can't. It was more of this surrender, of this beautiful, calm, yet not activated mind, more like an alert mind. And that's the theobromine, amongst others. So theobromine is like similar in the molecular structure to caffeine, but it stimulates the cardiovascular system, which is good for the heart, versus the nervous system. So what caffeine does. And we live in this very nervous system agitated world, don't we? Like we all have a lot of stress. We feel stressed a lot. We even have, us people struggle with adrenal fatigue. And the nervous system is kept constantly high. And what we do if we get tired, drink more coffee, we like agitate that nervous system more and more. And mm-hmm. so with cacao, we can stay in focus and in concentration while actually calming our nervous system. And magnesium is in cacao too, if we want to talk about more of the benefits, which calms the body and relaxes the muscles, but also is good for the brain. Iron, great for women, helps on your period.
I think it's, you know, there's the most amount of iron in a plant-based nutrient. For cacao, so you know, obviously meat has the most iron rich, but yeah, for a plant, cacao's got the most amount of iron.
Did you just look that up?
Not this second, but within my research I was like, wow, yeah, cacao's that's phenomenal, along with lots of other stuff. It's fascinating. Can we just define, for those that don't actually know, the difference between cacao, the other, which is cocoa, as it would be called. I thought that was the American saying, but it's not. They're two different things.
I totally get it. Yes, and that's an issue with, you know, marketing and all that, and mm-hmm. how they implement, like in the food industry, how they implement certain certain branding strategies or terms, such as also raw cacao is a very common one, which actually more refers to pure, because technically cacao is really rarely raw, because just of the natural fermentation process. You know, there's so many, we could dive into that, but just talking about terms, so they just become popular and then become really strong and we think this is the real deal. But yeah, so let's dive into that difference. So cacao refers to the Theobroma cacao tree, right? And that it's a tree with like beautiful pots. They kind of look like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Would you compare it to a coffee bean or seed?
It's really big.
It's like a purple color.
So this is a dried cacao pot, just as a reference, right?
Okay, yeah, so as big as a mango and
Yeah, and it can be even bigger. So this is quite a small one because it's dried. And inside, this is all dried now. Inside, you've got the pulp and the fruit, which is and the beans and the seeds. There's cacao seeds, they're inside here. They're used for producing cacao and then also chocolate further down the line and cocoa. So, but cacao, so it's referring to the whole fruit, to the bean that's being processed and then used in used in all sorts of products. Cocoa is a further step away from it. So this is the defatted cacao bean because the beans in cacao, and also they can have different colors. They can be purple, brown, red, green, yellow. It's quite fascinating to see a tree because it has like all sorts of rainbow colors on it. But yeah, so those beans naturally contain around 40-50% cacao butter, which is amazingly healthy and helps the body metabolize the nutrients, has a lot of nutrients itself. But that in the chocolate history, they invented cacao powder for easier use, right? Just you use milk in it and then stir it. And so they defatted the bean. They detracted the oil or the cacao butter in it. And that's cocoa powder, which is very much heated. So very much processed because, yeah, it's been defatted and highly heated. So it's easily melting into milk or water, whatever you use. So cocoa powder is hardly cacao anymore. It hardly has any nutrients, and that's the problem that we got so used to that word, or in the US particularly, that they think they are eating something healthy, but they're actually just eating like what a percentage, tiniest percentage of the actual plant.
Yeah, when you see a headline on the news saying red wine and chocolate is actually good for you, and you're like, okay, but yeah, what is that study actually studying? What's being studied there, and what's actually being eaten? Two different things. So how much of cacao would be in like a standard chocolate bar?
That's a really good question. I haven't asked myself this, but let me see. I've got
I'm gonna hazard a guess and say about a couple of percent, no more than 10.
so just as a reference,
You've
right?
got a dairy milk bar right there.
Yeah, no, Jeremy. So I've got my cacao block, right, which is literally just solid cacao.
So that would be raw cacao.
That is pure cacao. Like I said, I wouldn't refer to it as raw because
Okay.
technically we're going into a
Because
marketing
you
thing.
do get a lot of brands that say raw cacao,
Yeah,
ceremonial grade.
there's so many difference. It's not protected terms. That's the thing. So you might want to
Sure,
do your
ceremonial grade is definitely not. You could be having a terrible ceremony. Like, oh, a good one. No one knows.
The problem also is just because someone labels a ceremonial grade, cacao also contains caffeine to varying degrees. So preferably you don't want to have much of it, but some sorts have a lot of caffeine and you'll like really like get agitated. So you want to do your research, but we can dive into that later. But yeah, this is just a block of cacao, right? Pure cacao, 100% cacao. So then we go, I've got this Co-op Irresistible Raspberry Fair Trade Chocolate, just here. And we've got 57%, so it starts with cacao mass, cocoa mass, which is, yeah, like basically the defatted one, cane sugar, cocoa butter, which they then, that's the funny thing about chocolate. So chocolate, basically, they use cocoa powder and then they use cacao butter from a different source often. So often you find cocoa powder from, I don't know, Brazil, and then they add cacao butter from Africa. It's a bit, food industry. So, and then it says cocoa solids 57% minimum. All right, so that's not too bad. It's quite a dark chocolate, isn't it? But again, it's cocoa, so and then with some added cacao butter,
So that
which
would
also
be
has been
you,
processed.
so that would be the butter, the
And you find chocolate that has like 80%, right, or like 90%, but even that is been industrially processed. So as soon as it comes in the bar, usually you've got a lot of machines that were working on the cacao along the way. And that's the next step, is like, how much has it been processed and how much energy has then been going away? And you know how it is with honey, right? How we're supposed to only stir honey in a tea when it's almost a bit cooled down to, you know, get all the benefits out of it. It's the same with cacao. You don't want to heat it too much. You don't want to process it too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I want to get into kind of how to prep your cacao and what's the best kind of, yeah, what's the best process to actually consume it. But just, I guess, on, there's a few more questions I feel I've got on the kind of dispelling some myths and stuff. What, white chocolate, how does that even play into this? Or is that just a marketing term, white chocolate, and it's something completely different?
White chocolate, you mean?
Yes.
All right.
Is that even chocolate? Could you class that? The chocolate's just a brand name, right?
It's a good question, honestly. So, I mean, chocolate in differentiation to pure cacao is literally just parts of cacao combined with sugar and flavors. That's what makes chocolate chocolate. It's a combination of the actual plant with other herbs, with other spices, or in our Western culture, mainly sugar. And so white chocolate has parts of cacao, but it's only the cacao butter that it has. So it doesn't have the cocoa powder, because if you think of cocoa powder is dark, right? But the cacao butter, which is literally fat, if you take it away, it's very light, very pale. Mm. I have some downstairs, could just bring that up too. But and hence why, if you just use cacao butter without the cocoa powder, which would make it brown, the chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, it just stays white. So basically, white chocolate has a little bit of that cacao-ish flavor through the cacao butter, but it has so much sugar on top of it that it's more of like it has more sugar than usually chocolate has, like the dark chocolate has.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that basically, yeah, white chocolate is cacao butter with sugar.
Yes. Yeah, it does make sense. You don't get that color, essentially. Okay, yeah, so there definitely could be some chocolate in there. What's the things to look out for on like bars of chocolate, which is just a no in the shops?
Oh my god.
If it's got milk in, I'm like, yeah, no. Because it's just another dilution of the actual chocolate.
Yeah, well, I'm not a chocolate teacher, right? I'm a cacao teacher. So maybe you're asking that to the wrong person. But yeah, I mean, I hardly get, eat chocolate just for enjoyment maybe sometimes. But I would look for the first ingredients, because the first ingredients are the highest. So as soon as it says sugar as first ingredient, I'm like, yeah, why am I even bothering?
Yeah.
But that's because I used to love that. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I was a huge fan of chocolates, but I just got so used to the pure taste of cacao that if I eat a too sweet and sugary chocolate, I just don't enjoy it anymore. If someone wants a piece of chocolate, go get a piece of chocolate. But if you want to have the nutrients of cacao, then I say let's dive into the differences of cacao that are out there on the market rather.
Yeah, if you're looking for something with health benefits,
then
you're going to have to go for the cacao, because there isn't anything similar.
Treat the chocolate as a treat and a sweet, right? And a candy. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And get your cacao as the actual.
Mm-hmm. Is it, obviously sugar is highly addictive and people think I'm addicted to chocolate when you're actually addicted to the sugar. Now, is cacao, it has obviously neurological effects, which can cause some attachment to that, of that, pleasure seeking animal. But
you know what, it's the opposite. It actually helps you get rid of addictions, and that's one of the work I love most, right? So if you dive into it, yes, sugar is the thing that's highly addictive, so you want to avoid that. Also, you want to avoid that in your cup of cacao. If you are not used to the bitter taste, take some honey. But yes, like you said, don't mix it with milk, and that's not because I'm vegan. That's literally because the milk blocks the metabolization of the nutrients. So, and also because cacao contains so much cacao butter, it's anyway creamy, even if you just make it with water, compared to, have you had a cocoa powder with water? Oh, it's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
That obviously doesn't work, but in actually pure cacao, it's so, so creamy. So you don't need that. But yeah, you won't want to mix it with milk for sure, and not really with sugar either, unless you're really used to sugar and just want to gradually get rid of it. That's fine too. There's no judgment. But coffee is addictive as well. So if you have that as a comparison, because we notice when we drink a lot of coffee and then suddenly we stop drinking it, we get headaches. So we have literally withdrawing symptoms, same with sugar, we get tired or whatever. With cacao, you don't have it. It's the opposite, funny enough. So you, over time, you'll notice. So first, it took me a long while to really feel the full energetic effect of cacao, right? That like love feeling, the bliss feelings, all these like neurological things that we love. But as soon as I felt it, I didn't need as much anymore. So first I started drinking and I thought I'd need it more and more because I don't feel anything. But actually cacao was asking me to just sit back and listen to my body. And that's something in our culture we rarely do anymore. So we don't even, like, I didn't even know where to start. And what does this mean, listening to my body? Where's my intuition? I have no idea. What is even happening? Like, just, you know, tune in, feel into the shifts in your body. And I was like, yeah, which shifts? So until I got into that practice of listening on and feeling myself, really, and that's when the cacao really brought me the messages. And from that moment on, I needed less and less and less cacao. And so now it's simply the smell. So if I open a bar of cacao, I'm like, okay, that high, because our body, well, we are conditioned beings, right? So our body saves those memories. It knows what it has experienced again and again and again. So now the cacao is in us. The cacao has activated us. So cacao doesn't bring out, doesn't bring anything foreign to us. It only contains neurotransmitters and compounds that are in our bodies as well. So it's, it docks onto receptors and it reminds our bodies of what we are capable. So once our body has remembered that, that it's capable of that love, that it's capable of that trust, that it's capable of that creativity, that it's capable of the focus, whatever you use it for, you need less and less. And it's a very common thing you see in people that use cacao over the years, that now they don't drink a big ceremonial dose anymore. They just drink a few grams and that's enough. And some even stop drinking it altogether and just have it every now and then and snack a bean to activate. And you also will see that there's no side effects if you stop having it. So I consciously take breaks because I love drinking my cacao. It's a great thing, you know, it's not a problem. You can drink it daily, whatever. But also just to get more sensitive with my body, I also stop it sometimes, as there is some detoxing that can happen in your body. You want to give your body a break sometimes. And then when I have these like 2 weeks without cacao, I still feel the love. I can still connect with it because it's in me. It's not something the cacao brings it to me to remember, but it is in me. We all have that.
Yeah. It reminds me of something Ram Dass once said about once you get the message, hang up the phone. He was talking specifically about drugs and psychedelic drugs. That once you get the message, you don't need to keep doing it. You can just hang up the phone and it's enough. Yeah. Love that. I love all that. That's amazing. What about cacao nibs? Because doing that little bit of research, I was under the impression cacao nibs were the pure form, not the raw form, the pure form, but just chopped up. But apparently, is it right that they are like the cases of the bean as well, like the skin?
The peel. Yeah.
The peel. Is that always the case?
It's not. There's never and always, because there's so many different brands out there. There's so many different ways, and it, because cacao is industrialized, there's also different places do it differently. Some just use the rest leftovers, you know, from whatever production they have. Some have the peels with them, where, you know, it's a thing some people say, it's good to have the peels, others don't, because in the end, the peel of the cacao bean is a protection mechanism against nature. So in the end, you don't necessarily want to intake it too much. But you get from like ceremonial cacao brands that actually, you know, really source their cacao consciously, work with the spirit of cacao, process it locally, have, you know, people and locals there peeling the beans. Like, it's usually women traditionally that do it, and even from home, and you know, they do it while the kids playing around, and they would sort out the really nice beans, because they start crumbling often, yeah, and those that are still they're still, you know, intact, they would put aside, and the rest they would just use and process into the paste, which then gets cooled down into a block, and then they sell cacao beans, and you can just crunch them up as nibs, and then you know I've got the pure bean. So I'd rather recommend you getting cacao beans and then just crunch them up for nibs, and then you know what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think before we get into kind of making process, could you just touched on it there. Could we talk a bit about the sustainability factor and what to kind of look out for? I think that'd be really helpful.
Yeah. So you want to look out for farms, you know, that are actually a rainforest, cacao growing trees versus then plantations is the name, right?
So
industrialized processes and planted trees, because you'll then end up with different species of cacao and less energy. So also you want to know, is the money going back into the culture? Because I think we have, you know, a lot of distortion here, you know, in this world of just exploiting. And that's something that happened through chocolate. So when cacao came to Europe, it was not really favored in the pure taste and the way the Mayans and Aztecs, for example, would drink it. So they would start adding sugar and milk, and then it got like into chocolate, and that's how we ended up with that. But chocolate became so popular, and then we had slavery involved, and we had a lot of exploitation. So that's a kind of dark shadow side of cacao, which obviously it's not cacao's fault, but it's us. So I think if we really want to get back now to the origins and want to be aware of our
a lot going on. What happened there?
You know what? This just starts happening recently. As soon as someone calls me, my Spotify starts playing music.
Oh, really? You got to go have a look at your settings.
I hope you can edit that.
We're pretty chilled on the podcast, don't we? It's funny. It's cacao's calling.
Cacao's calling, yes. It's Lorena McKennett, green sleeves. Like the green leaves, all right. We're talking about the green leaves of cacao. So, yeah, we want green sustainability, right? It's all we want to get, go back to green. So be aware of the resources, of the source of it. Be aware. And that, I think that goes, you know, with everything, coffee, food, whatever, where are you getting your stuff from, really? And so if you're interested in that, then dig in and do your research. And you can always, like, especially ceremonial cacao companies, they're still small. You know, you can message them. You can ask them, hey, where's your cacao from? How is it processed? Where does the money go? And I wouldn't necessarily look out for fair trade, because fair trade is a certificate that small farmers have to get. It's too expensive for them. So I'd rather look out for direct trade versus fair trade, right? Direct trade means...
Okay.
The workers get direct money. The money goes directly to workers, not only the farmer that then distributes it often unfairly as well to the workers. It's more like direct to each worker. So that's one thing to look out for. Is it one specific plantation they get the cacao from, or is it actually wild grown? It's becoming popular. So only because it's sourced from a native culture or a tribe doesn't necessarily mean it's the highest ceremonial energy, because even back, you know, in those countries, they are quite poor, so they are looking for ways to make money. So even they fall into marketing schemes, even they would praise something as original or whatever to get, you know, the product. And there's a lot of white labeling out there, so a lot of cacao is often from similar sources, which means there's a bigger production. There's a lot of things to pay attention to if you really want to, you know, go down that rabbit hole. But I think the best way is always just messaging and asking, hey, where do you get it from? How is it sourced? And then you have your answer, right?
Yeah. Well, how did you go about sourcing your cacao?
So my cacao comes mainly from... So I try different brands. So I love trying out different cacao, because cacao is... grown in many different regions. I wouldn't go so far to have cacao from Africa yet. I think there's still, you know, there's a lot of child labor still involved, still a lot of industrial. There's no really ceremonial attitude, which might change in the future. Just for as of now, you know, you look out for the most common places are Guatemala, Peru, and Ecuador. Colombia is catching up as well, I think. So I source my cacao mainly from Guatemala, but I do look around and try out different cacaos because there's so many varieties, but also a lot of differences. So you want to find one that you like. You like the taste and the effect, but that takes a bit of feeling into yourself, really, because there's some brands I really don't like. They're too sour. I feel the fermentation process gone off a bit. Others have too much caffeine for me. Then the next one, you know, is just nothing. Like, it might be good for my body, but I just don't feel anything really in terms of heart opening or joy. So, the one that I just drink is Quis Cacao from Guatemala, and that's definitely my favorite. But for now, we'll see what happens in the future. But Quis is the guy, just for reference for people that don't know. He's that American white dude in the 70s, like proper hippie guy that went like a few decades ago to San Marcos La Laguna in Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. And he got visited by the cacao spirit. And he's the reason why we have that trend now. Because cacao has been used for centuries in those cultures, but it's almost forgotten. And almost even the Mayan cultures nowadays, they were kind of like, not really interested in anymore. They're interested in going being Western, you know, and don't really follow their own traditions. So he's came in and explored that whole cacao thing, and dived into the research of chocolate, and it became a thing. He started hosting cacao ceremonies, and also that term was literally just invented because in San Marcos it was a trendy word. So this whole myth about a cacao ceremony doesn't exist. Cacao has been used over the history, right, for weddings, for birthrights, for initiation rituals, for fire ceremonies, and all sorts of things. It has been combined with other psychedelic plants and such. But there's not such a thing, at least that it's to the degree that it's known, because obviously because of colonialization, there's a lot of knowledge lost. But as we know, there's no such thing as a cacao ceremony, but like an ayahuasca ceremony. That's not a thing. So he literally just shared cacao and did his energy work, and that became a cacao ceremony. And now there's Mayans through that, and that's the beautiful thing, talking about giving back, right? So he brought the awareness into Western culture because it's a spiritual hippie kind of town where he is. Travelers came, got wind of that, heard about that cacao thing, started their own brands, and they honestly, most of it dates back to his porch, really, and his teachings on cacao. And then the culture, the Mayan culture, their locals picked up on it and were like, wow, it's really trendy. Actually, we can make money. This is planned from our land. How about we just serve it? And so they then started diving into their history and their culture and started doing fire ceremonies with cacao again. And so now it's coming to kind of like full circle where also they can take that back and reclaim that back. But funny enough, it started with this white American hippie dude.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful lesson, I think, for me and for a lot of us, because we have often are very strict and we talk about cultural appropriation and all that stuff. But just to know there's not dogma, there's not this one right way, there's not this is how you do it, and oh, if you're not a native from Guatemala, you have no right to share cacao, like, it's bullshit, right? Cacao knows no boundaries. She wanted to be shared. And yes, there's ways in which you can honor it and ways in which you can do it more consciously and aware. But in the end of the day, she wants to get out there and open people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. I think you can apply that to many things. I mean, traveling in Southeast Asia and pretty much on the same kind of daily agenda as these monks whilst teaching in a school, and they were, as all they wanted to do was go on their laptops and watch music videos, and we were almost like, coming from the West and knowing there's a richer, there's a deeper as a deeper essence of us humans and what really, you know, what really is sustainable for us and you know, our children, etc. And we were like almost teaching them what they already knew. They just got caught in this, I guess, a trend or some kind of stimulated technology that takes you because it feeds on our desires, you know. But really, yeah, it can be taught. We often sometimes feel a bit like, who are we to teach? Who are we in the West to teach like the Eastern traditions or, yeah, South American traditions, like their own ways? But it, like, often you go to these cultures and westernized village and stuff is already happening, and it's like we've experienced the effects of that. So it's so important to even go back and yeah, talk to people about it.
But also, you don't have to go that far. See, right, we often forget, we reach out to like India or places like South America for plant medicines or India for philosophies. But we forget that we in the Western world have that as well. And so we don't need to go out and teach something like yoga, for example. I mean, you can, but you have your own culture, like, in the UK, the Celtic origin, right, so strong. Then the Germanic, the culture of the Germanic tribes, the runes, the ancient spirituality that is there too. And we forget that we have the pagans, right? They have philosophies, they have stories to share. That basically we have those philosophies all over the world, just dressed up in different colors. Like, I'm very interested in mending the fairy accord, which is bringing the harmony again between like nature, the natural world, and human beings. And this is, funny enough, this is something I find in all traditions, just dressed up in different ways. In a different tradition, it's dressed up in like finding the balance between the masculine and the feminine, you know, bringing that together. Or in another, it's like cacao is actually that also. There's this ancient legend of when the world is is threatened by that loss of connection between human beings and nature, cacao comes from the rainforest to bring back harmony, to bring back balance. And she does that by reminding us that we are nature, we are part of this, and we're not separated, we are a creature of this planet. And I find that as a teaching in so many teachings all over the world, just dressed in different words, in a different story, in different ways of describing it. But when it comes down to it, it comes down to the same thing. And we have that too, so we don't need even to go up that far. And I think the beauty of cacao, she reminds us of that. I think, like, yes, this is a medicine from a different country, from far away. But then again, we are so connected to it through chocolate, through the past hundred of years, that we kind of know the plant in a way. So we have that connection already. Just now we're deepening it and opening up to the actual plant rather than the distortion of it. And she comes in and she's often not the main thing. If you look out, you find cacao and ecstatic dance, cacao and yoga, cacao, it's cacao end. It's not necessarily, and that's how it's been in the cultures in South America and Middle America as well. So she's often that vessel, that vehicle that reminds you of what is your passion, what do you have to bring to the world, and then she assists you with it. She facilitates it with you. But it's rare to find a cacao ceremony where someone gives you cacao, like in an ayahuasca ceremony, and just lets you be and sink in. That's something I love doing. But then also I have my own passions that she helps me activating and bring out to the world. So that's the beauty of her, really, is to find what is true to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What are your ceremonies like? Because I hear a lot about cacao ceremonies. They are themselves just all about the drink. So what are your ceremonies like? How do you prep for them? And
so since it became a trend, it's rarely often only about the drink anymore. It's often like, you know, it's been almost, you just have your offerings, you have your retreats, sound journeys, yoga stuff, and then people just serve cacao because it's almost been demanded, because everyone now knows about cacao.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, and then they call it a cacao ceremony, but I would just say that's a cacao ritual at the beginning, and then they go into their own magic of like sound or yeah, movement, somatic practices, which is beautiful because cacao is a wonderful support in all these practices. So there's no right or wrong. There's not a set ceremony. So it's if you know, no cacao ceremony is the same. It really depends on the person facilitating it, really. So my ceremonies are. So there's either I have several versions. One there is either very much focused on cacao, where it's going deep inward, often through a guided meditation or even just silence. I don't work that much with music, because it helped me to just go silent and instead of being in the brain stimulated all the time, really coming inside and listen to the body, and then realizing what messages are coming through you, but also through cacao. And then I have the ceremonies that are more, yeah, we drink cacao. I invite her in. I talk about cacao just so people also are aware what they're drinking and consuming. And then I go into either a shamanic drum journey and meditation or storytelling. That's something I like doing, to activate a certain part of the brain that, you know, through stories, we do understand a deeper meaning. And then I go into a sharing circle. So that's something. Particularly here and in our world, and also in the UK, there I notice that people don't really talk about their emotions, and cacao is very much opening us up to our emotions, and that's also part of the chemical compounds in her, you know, the phenylethylamine and the anandamide, for example. So we get to experience that kind of heart opening, softening. We feel we are more courageous to be vulnerable. And by talking about that, we actually get to be very, we get to integrate lessons, because nowadays we get lessons through memes and quotes all the time on Instagram and social media. We are basically bombarded with philosophies and teachings. But who does really practice what they preach, right? Who actually integrates that? Who actually does this? Because I think that's where what it comes down to in the end of the day, that in our day-to-day life, we are living with an open heart. We are living in our truth, not just in ceremonies. So I try to have my ceremonies as a portal of like discovering what is important to us and what our values are, and then bridging into the day-to-day, how can we live that every day instead of just in ceremonies? Because we have a lot of people that just hop from ceremony to ceremony because that's where they have the beautiful experiences. That's where they feel really themselves. But I want to empower people to feel like that, like every day,
Yeah.
you know.
I'm not sure they're hopping. I think they're dragging themselves from ceremony to ceremony. The hopping happens at the ceremony, but they're dragging themselves.
That's totally fine, you know. But I think, you know, at some point, everyone realizes they need to integrate.
Yeah, for sure. And it's right. Like, who does practice what they preach? There's a beautiful quote. Not beautiful, actually. It's pretty terrible, but it's like, show me, tell me what you do and I might not believe you, but show me your bank account and I will know what you do and what you value. And it's like we spend our money in ways in which things we actually value. It's just an interesting insight to actually, you know, what are you actually practicing? And it's rare. I mean, even myself, catch myself many times. You're actually teaching me quite a lot, and I'm really enjoying the podcast because it's true. In when you speak from that heartfelt connected place, it's really powerful, because who you're right, not many people are open. And when people say they are, they not that no. Sometimes they're just saying what they've heard sounds good, or what are they actually feeling. Only they'll know. Only they'll ever know. You might feel that someone's not being genuine or authentic, but only the person can ever know.
And
And
yes, and it's about authenticity and being honest with yourself, right? But not everyone has that value, so also we can't really chat about that. So for me, that's very important. That it's not for everyone, I guess. I
Yeah,
think we can change the world
absolutely.
if we are more honest with ourselves and actually hold ourselves accountable for what we talk that, you know, sounds nice. And yeah, it's a big thing, especially in that kind of industry as well, of there's certain terms that people use and that just sound nice. Like I when I in my courses, there's one part where I where I teach my participants to really be conscious about using their language. So when they send someone love and light or blessings, sister, to really think about, do you mean what you're saying there? Is this a genuine, like, is this really like a soul sister of yours? Like you spent 10 years with that person, you love her that much, and you want to send her blessings from your heart. That's rarely the case, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get like, love, XX, kiss, kiss, love you so much, boo. And I'm like, you don't even know me. Do you really mean this? Or is this just because it's not? And that comes down to that kind of authenticity. Words are spells, and it's beautiful to send something nice, right?
Yeah, but we're frivolous with words. It's cultural. It's definitely cultural as well. We feel like we have to say these things, but then it devalues it when we really do mean it. So yeah, let's talk about the kind of the making process. How many, back to kind of technical stuff, but how many grams do you have per cup? I love the fact, going back to what you said at the start, that you kind of, you find most people who really been doing it for a long time do ease off and just very much more subtle. But I'd say it's someone who's just getting into this for the first time, how would they go about?
So depending on how you would drink it for the first time, like would you just prepare it for yourself or like a work day or a creative project, and you know, instead of coffee, for example, maybe you want to get rid of your daily coffee habit and want to implement something more healthy. Let's start with that, right? Then I would recommend you drink like 20 to 30 grams, something along those lines. Just with water, if you wanna have it a bit different and you wanna add some coconut milk or oat milk, you can do that. I would start with half water, half of that other milk. But always recommend, if you try it for the first time, try it pure, just because. Then I have some honey next to you to stir in if you want. Obviously, don't force it down if it's too bitter, but just to be like aware, every now and then have a sip of it pure, just to be like, oh yeah, that's a pure plant. Oh, cool. How does that taste? You know, instead of dipping the potato into mayonnaise all the time, it's like, how does the actual potato taste before I use something else to, you know, cover the flavor up, just as an experiment. But yeah, like 20 to 30 grams for like the beginning for a daily dose. Perfect. If you feel like you want to also, apart from the energetics of the day to day and, you know, the work focus, the creativity, the even enhancement of physical performance, if you want to experience more something of a spiritual effect or that also heart opening, then I would recommend you to set some time aside, because just because you add more grams to your cup doesn't necessarily mean, like I said before, that you feel it more. So the best thing to do is really set an hour aside or two, or join a ceremony in your surrounding, find an online ceremony, or just even put a YouTube meditation on. You know, just takes time apart, because otherwise you're using a lot of cacao, which is great, still gonna help you in your day to day, but you might not get to experience what you actually want. So if you want to have a message from your body, if you want to have a message from your soul or whatever, make time to receive that message, and then take about, so a official ceremonial dose would be 42 grams. But I would recommend taking at least an hour, if not two or three, aside, and do that with a friend. If you struggle to do that on your own, right? Do that with a friend and have fun. And it's not like you have to be silent all the time. You can chat together, but remind yourself after every 20, 30 minutes, hey, how do you feel now? Do you feel different? Oh, what do you want to do? Do you want to dance a bit? Do you want to move your body? Actually, I just want to sit in stillness and explore. Who knows? Do you feel like a tingly sensation? Do you feel your heartbeat racing? Oh, suddenly I have so many good ideas. I need to write them all down. Whatever is going to come up, because, yeah, what I said, if we ask our bodies for a message, or even if we ask a plant for a message, like with ayahuasca, we sit a whole night, don't we? And to wait and to explore, and treat that as a plant medicine. At least if you're going for like 42 grams, if you go like for 20 grams, don't worry, you don't have to treat it as a plant medicine all the time. Cacao is so subtle. Cacao is wonderful in day to day. But yeah, if you want to treat it as a plant medicine, then take the time aside, Set your intention even, maybe there's something in particular you want to explore, and be curious. So stay curious, because if you don't take the time, or if you're not aware of what happens, and that happened to me, I say this out of my own experience, right? At the beginning, because I thought I need more, I need to drink more, and a second cup even, because I'm so desensitized. I don't notice stuff. Like, I didn't even notice coffee. That's how numb I was, right? So I thought I'd drink more and more, and then I got diarrhea. Yay! Nauseous feeling is quite a common thing. It's very much your body basically pooping all that unnecessary things out that you actually didn't need. And that's your body telling you, you better sit down and listen inward other than drinking another cup, because that's what we do in our society. Drink more and more and more instead of, hey, I've had enough. Now I make time to receive. We want the immediate effects, right? We wanna have stimulations constantly. But actually what cacao is so subtle. It's really profound if you actually listen, but it's subtle. So you need to make that space and that space to sink into that and to receive. So ask for that. And don't be shied away by little things like that. Just use those as signs. Nausea, all right. Is there something you can't digest? Headaches, are you staying in your head? Are you being too much in your head? Don't you really go down? Or is there resistance for like new information coming in? Also nausea can be, or headaches too, both. Is there something you are suppressing? Are you keeping the emotions that want to come up stuck? Because often that's the first message that people get, is emotions coming up. So that's, I'm touching on upon like the addictions again. Addiction has, you know, it's not necessarily the fault of a substance. It's a trauma and it's something in us. What are we numbing down? Why are we having another piece of chocolate? Why sugar, right? Why do I need a cigarette right now? Is it because I feel lonely? Why do I have that glass of wine in the evening? Is it because I don't feel love? Or is it because I feel bored with my life, or because I'm frustrated? So there's a reason, and there's often trauma or fear underneath. And that's the beauty of cacao, is she can connect us to those emotions in a very subtle way. She doesn't reactivate any trauma, so it's safe. And you can go wherever you want to go. So she just opens doors, but she doesn't push you through them. That's something that Keith used to say a lot. You are not forced to go through. It's not like you drink ayahuasca and boom, no choice, you're in it. Or even alcohol, right? If you're tipsy, you're tipsy. There's no way back.
Mm-hmm.
With cacao, there's always, you always are in control how deep you want to go. Yeah, you see, I'm just stopping now because I feel like I can just go on.
No, you go. I'm letting you go. How's your cacao get going down?
Oh, love it. Maybe that's also, I'm going in this flow. Like, oh, boom, 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 cacao, cacao, cacao. So I drink my cacao because it's just like Guatemalan cacao. I prepared it. Yeah, we're talking about preparation, don't we? So I have like, that must have been, I don't measure my cacao anymore because I got so used to intuitively. I mean, I know when I have a bit of cacao, I know roughly how much it is. And also I ask my body. That's another thing to say. No matter how much cacao you have in your cup, always tune in to your system, right? If you feel like you need to go to the toilet, that might be a sign of your body saying you've had enough. Just save the rest of the cup for later, or give it back to the earth, or let it cool down. If you prepared it in like a blender, or you were whisking it a lot and it's very foamy, if it cools down, it hardens and it gets moussey. So you might even want to put it in the fridge and then spoon it with bananas on the next morning. So don't force yourself to drink. If you feel your body says, hey, in any form or way says, I've had enough, then you've had enough. That's wonderful. And that can sometimes be the taste changes. So at the beginning, you're like, oh, it's delicious. Oh, I made such a nice drink. And then after like 3-4 sips, you noticed, ooh, it's getting a bit sour, or oh, it's getting too sweet. That might be your body saying enough. So yeah, also just tap into that, right? And so this one I prepared with water, and it was about, must have been 15, 20 grams, I think, what I have here, but I haven't even finished it. I'm also not going to drink more now because I do feel quite like, ooh, and giggly and fun, and I think that's enough for now. After the podcast, I'm probably going to take my time to then just, you know, enjoy that feeling and that high. But yeah, so this is water and cacao. I just put a little bit of vanilla in and a drop of rose oil. That's all. So I don't sweeten my cacao anymore unless I create recipes. I love creating different recipes, and you can use, herbal teas and use that as the liquid for cacao. You can, cinnamon is a popular one. Very traditional is cayenne pepper as well, especially if you want to absorb it quite quickly in your system. It helps to get into your bloodstream. But any added like nut milk or honey sugar stuff is gonna slow down the absorption. So there's no really need for you to put a lot of oat milk in and then put a lot of cayenne in. Like rather, decide for one thing or the other. Just because you put oat milk in doesn't mean it takes away the effects. It just prolongs them and is more soft and prolongs them. Versus if you have them pure, it comes into your body way quicker. So that's something to be aware of. And then yeah, experiment, I'd say. So in terms of preparation, there's several ways of going about this. Obviously, traditionally, there was no electricity, there was no blenders, there was no things. So they would pour it from one cup into the other to create foam. So foam is a very much traditional thing in cacao. They used to say cacao for the body and foam for the soul. And also as the Mayans, they really appreciate and honor the elements. So the bubbles, the foamy bubbles, is the element of air. So we've got all the elements in cacao. I'm boring you, Chris. You need a cup of cacao.
Think I do.
Need to wake up.
No, I'm thoroughly in this. Tried to hide that yawn.
Yeah, no, don't worry. So if you're talking about elements, we have the carrots, the earth, we have the sun.
You're not letting me get away with anything
No,
here. Yeah. I love it.
no. Sorry, that's also my authentic self. I'm just a bit of a choker. Because that's interesting for people, isn't it? We don't have to be all like, oh, I'm the cacao priestess, guys.
Yeah,
Let's
exactly.
enjoy this love. Like, no, I'm a human being and I'm a person. I have my own quirks. Like you all have.
Yeah, let them out, honestly. It's so much better. So much healthier than like feeling like, oh, he's falling asleep and I'm just rabbiting on. No, it's hilarious.
Well, so all right, let's wrap it up then.
No,
Cacao.
it's good. I think it's a lot to chew on, and it's good. It's all useful information, and honestly, I'll be going back to listen to the podcast again when I'm awake. No, truly, honestly, you're dosing out the good information here. And where can one find you online, and how often are your workshops? Are you doing any workshops? Are you do in person stuff as well? So maybe give people a kind of direction where
Yeah,
to
of
find you.
course. So you find me mainly on Instagram and Facebook at the moment on Cacao Zauber, which is KAKAOZAUBER, or you Google my name, Laura Durbin. I think that might be easier as well, Laura Durbin. And I do live in Glastonbury in Somerset, so that's where I hold in-person events as well. But at the moment, it's also mainly online. I do have quite a big German following as well, so if you speak another language, I might cover that maybe. And yeah, English ceremonies and courses. So I love teaching about cacao, as you can, I love talking about cacao, as you can see, and I love bringing people into their authentic connection. So that's something that is really my heart, and bringing people together. So I'm hoping to host a talking circle soon. Fueled by cacao, and where we can actually speak about our emotions and dive into our blind spots. You know what? And I was very inspired by your podcast with Jeff Sharp, Urban Barefoot. Because that was this one thing he said of like, yes, if we would just be transparent, right? If we would just talk about our shadows, even admit, yes, I'm doing this to be more seen or be more liked. Admit that, and that's something that I hold very dear to my heart as well. And it's something in our culture, unfortunately, isn't really done so much, especially in the UK, if I may say that so honestly. But
Oh, it's so true.
like you don't hear, like in Germany, if someone says yes, you know, they mean yes. And if someone says no, they, you know, they mean no. Here, you don't know. Like, yes, of course, let's have a coffee together soon. Like, do they really want to have a coffee? No.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, think about it. It's always a no. Okay, got that.
Yeah. Well, I think we just get offended so easily. That's a part of it as well.
Yeah.
People just don't want to offend someone else.
It's insecurity, right? It's insecurity.
Yeah.
You've been suppressed emotions have been suppressed. We feel wrong. We feel like we can't do that. And also the whole thing about the love and light thing now, the problem is with all this. And that's why I love Kakao, because she brings us giggles, but she can also bring us the deep emotions. Because what we have also in the yoga community and all these communities is like, keep your vibration high. Yes, I get that one. But we can't keep our vibration high if underneath in our subconscious, there's so much mud and murky water stored. So you can pretend on the surface you're high vibration, but deep down, you're actually not. You're fucking whiny, crying, sad child that doesn't want to keep the vibration high. That just wants to cry or be angry or whatever. And we have to learn to make space for that in our day to day, because
yeah.
Often we make such a big deal out of someone being upset, and we don't want to upset people, so we don't tell the truth because, oh no, then I upset them and then I'm the bad guy and then I'm upset. Oh, like, no, yes, you might upset someone, that's normal, but you know what? They might still be your friend, or you, if you are still their friend, you can hold them while being upset. In a relationship, that's a common thing. You say things that upsets the other person, but you can tell them, you know what, I'm sorry. And this is my truth, and I know this upsets you, but I'm here for you to go through that upset. Let's see, I just triggered you. What is that trigger? Oh, okay, triggered rejection. You know what? I'm not rejecting you. I'm still here. How can you work on your own rejection then? And vice versa, right? Oh, you're avoiding love. Why are you pulling away from me? That's okay. I give you space, but how can we dive in? Where does that come from? And making space for that instead of like your girlfriend crying. Oh my gosh, it's a big deal. She's upset. Oh, fuck, can't deal with this. Or your friend, you know, your best friend being angry. And yeah, be okay with that. We people have all the range of emotions, and we think we value the love and light emotions more, but actually subconsciously we don't. Because when we are happy, we want to have more of that. We don't even express gratitude for it. But as soon as we have a sad day, we're like, fuck, I have a sad day. I failed in my life. I did something wrong. Oh my gosh, the world is crumbling. And that's giving it more value. Do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of just being grateful for every emotion we have and not. Otherwise, it's going to be a big deal in the long
run. Yeah, it's easy to often say it's easy to be happy when things are going good. And it's just a reminder that it'll pass. And then the sadness will come at some point. The kind of you're slipping into that unhappiness, something's not going quite right, and just be happy in that. And if you're happy in that, then you're gonna have a good life. But it's like, I think I get definitely lost within like, okay, if I'm happy now in the uncomfortable or the things that aren't going so well, then my motivation is going to go away to actually get out of that. But it doesn't work like that. You can just endure, because it will just pass. Everything changes and it will just pass anyway, and it's just the motions of life,
you know. What you just need, sorry, but before I forget, because that was a good cue there, because you're right, the other extreme of that end is the victim mentality, right? If you get stuck in that story and like we go deeper and there's more to work on, so we don't want to fall into that spectrum. But if we're aware of that, we can This too shall pass.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to ask you how the cold water is going. But just to go back to what you were saying about the space that's created, like, oh my God, that it cuts so deep, because I'm actually doing some coaching with Jeff after our podcast. I just reached out to him. I was like, you know, just I'm with you. Like, what do we need to do? And I'm doing an 8-week program with him. But he's providing a space for me to actually just see what comes up and actually express in that safe space. Like, we do not have spaces, which you touched on, spaces in our culture, especially in England and UK, like where we can just go and feel it all, feel everything. Like, can you do that in a yoga studio? No. Have I cried in a yoga studio? Yes. Was I the only one? Yes. Like, it didn't feel okay. And nothing, you know, it just happened. There was no real emphasis on like, it's okay. And we're all here together. That's why circles are so good, because everyone faces each other and it's actually